Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Howdy there, everybody. Welcome back and happy Skews Day to you. It is November 2nd, 2021. I'm Trey Crowder, and that's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? Trey, you remember last week when we talked about the Let's Go Brandon thing and you were marveling about how stupid it is?
Yes, I do remember that.
So there's a thing that happened over the weekend where a pilot on Southwest Airlines, as the plane touched down from, I think, Houston to Albuquerque, said, "Let's go, Brandon." And there happened to be an Associated Press reporter on the plane for whatever weird cosmic coincidence. And so the incident went viral and people lost their fucking minds, right?
Like, on which side? On both sides or what?
Well, there were the people, like former FBI agents and CIA agents who are currently CNN commentators, which there are far too many of those, in my opinion, who were calling for the guy to be prosecuted and investigated. And like, it's one of those things where like, it's the perfect stupid fight because everyone's appealing to a higher authority that doesn't exist, except maybe Southwest's like human resources department. And it just doesn't matter. It's like the perfect social media fight because no one can say anything smart or even handed about it in that few characters. So everyone's very easily dunk-ownable. You know what I'm saying? It's like, one, yes, it's a stupid joke. Two, who cares? Three, it's good and fine to say fuck the president. YG and Nipsey Hussle made a song, rest in peace, Nipsey, called Fuck Donald Trump. It was a huge hit in 2017. remember that? This is less offensive than that, and it's fine. Fourth, like, you probably should not be trolling people whose lives you hold in your hands as an airline pilot.
Yeah.
That's fair and fine. And Southwest Airlines would probably ask him not to do that. Maybe give him a week off work for it to send a message to no one else I'll be doing either. But also, anyone that flown Southwest Airlines know that they are encouraged on that airline to be cheeky on the microphone.
Yeah.
So it was all really fucking stupid. And by the way, libs, everyone out there, when you're being trolled, the way to make it stop is not by getting really mad about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, I just feel like people saying fuck the insert president here is sort of part of just being the president. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Half of the country is going to think, fuck you, you suck. And of course, they found their little cheeky workaround with Let's Go Brandon instead of fuck Joe Biden, which is also just, as we were saying last week, not necessary. You can just say it, you know. You're not like, it's not as cute or clever as they think it is, but yeah, it's, you know, whatever. I certainly don't think he needs to be drawn and quartered for that.
No, somebody ask him about to do that again, and that's fine.
Fine. All right. So with us, as always, producer Matt doing his thing. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind you, if you're vaccinated and want to see me live, you can go to wellreadcomedy.com for tickets and information. I hope to see y'all out there. We'll be in Washington State this weekend, Seattle on Saturday, and Spokane on Sunday, and a lot of other places in the near future. So, yes, come and see us. Okay, tonight we cover the big Virginia governor's race to the bottom. Yes, the hotly contested gubernatorial election that is seemingly centered largely around critical race theory, despite the fact that it is not taught in any of Virginia's public schools. Conservatives up in arms over something that isn't real? The hell you say. We will talk all about it and cover the results as much as possible as they come in. But first, we've got a litany of truly dumb dummies for you, starting at the top with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic. Tonight's DD, JFK and JFK Jr. for allowing a little light drizzle to stop them from rising from the dead. That's right. QAnoners only 2 days after Halloween have flocked to Mark's old stomping grounds in Dallas, Texas, to welcome the Walking Dead to the realm of the living at a Rolling Stones concert, headlined by the Kennedys, but featuring also Dale Earnhardt, Robin Williams, Richard Pryor, and a bunch of other dead people. For what reason? I'm not really sure, but it doesn't seem to be going too well so far, does it, Mark? Any of them showed up yet?
No, yeah. So today was the, what do you call it? What year is this? 2021. So it's the 58th anniversary, or I can't do math in my head that quick, of JFK being assassinated. And so they gathered on Dealey Plaza, about 1,000 people by one count, to stand around in the rain and wait for JFK Jr. Well, some people thought it was because a lot of them think that JFK Jr. faked his own death and has been undercover trying to stop the pedophile cabal, right?
Right.
But there's also a subset of them who think that JFK and Jackie O are both going to be there too, because they're going to rise from the dead, all three of them, like a Holy Trinity kind of thing. And they would also, this is true, switch us back from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, I think, in which case that JFK would still be president and therefore he could hand power to Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. So wait a minute. So, hang on. JFK Jr. faked his death. Right. But
yeah,
JFK and Jackie O are going to rise from the underworld, having been dead, to join him who has only been fake dead this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that will make Donald Trump the president again. All this zombie Kennedy action.
Yes. Donald, so right. when JFK, neither JFK nor Jackie O showed up at Dealey Plaza today, they're like, oh, well, I guess because it's raining, but there's a Rolling Stones concert in Dallas tonight. And my friend Dave's going. Shout out Dave. And because Rolling Stone, you remember when Jesus came? I know you weren't churched as a kid. You're a little heathen, but so when Jesus rose from the dead, he rolled away a rock from the the chamber he was entombed in.
I knew that there was a rock involved in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rolling Stones, they're going to roll the stone away.
Roll the stone away. I get it. That's what they've been meaning this whole time.
Yeah.
50-year career was to culminate in
this event. So they formed in 1958 or whatever. The whole point's been leading to this. So a lot of fun shit happened. So this is all, of course, a bunch of idiots making stuff up in real time. When somebody
Googled
the Rolling Stones were in town. So, but they were hiding from the rain. Here's a video. Matt said that his version, maybe the audio sucks. So we'll see if it works. But play that video of the people breaking this down, Matt, what the plan's going to be.
I'm a Oh, by the way, I have another piece of information.
Uh-oh.
November 3rd at 1:30 a.m., which is about 2.5 hours after the concert, Trump is flying to the White House at 1:30 a.m. Why?
So 2.5 hours after the concert ends, Trump's landing at the White House and he'll be president again after the Rolling Stones gone. Because I guess that's the travel time from Mar-a-Lago D.C. as soon as the Rolling Stones concert
is. What I liked about this was like you're kind of getting to see a little – this is sort of how the sausage is made, I feel like, with their predictions. Like we get to see how their predictions apparently work. Because you talk about, oh, they all came here to see him rise for the dead. Then when that didn't happen at the appointed time, they, of course, immediately moved the goalposts to, no, well, it'll be this time instead. And you think, like, are they just literally making this up in the moment? And it seems to me that this is how that some lady just yells, I have another piece of information, and then just says a thing. And they're like, oh, okay, so that's what's going to happen now. And then when that doesn't happen, some other lady or dude will yell some other thing that they'll then wait for it to not happen and just et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they're just like, it's just all numerology and shit. So like just it's simple. It's as simple as there was a stone that rolled in the Bible. There's a Rolling Stones concert. Ergo, obviously, that's it. So
yeah, that's the whole thing.
But they before we have more on this in a second. But like, hey, Trey, have you ever been to Dealey Plaza?
No. Uh-uh.
So it's really, it's not much. It's a little park, and the grassy knoll is literally just a 4 foot tall hill that's like right over there. It's not like some remote sniper's nest. It's a little hill right over there. And it's not, it for it to be the subject of so many conspiracy theories, even calling it the grassy knoll makes it sound more like,
yeah,
it's 20 feet away, a 4 foot tall hill. Anyway.
Right.
So, and there's also a weird thing. These people thought drivers were honking at them because it's this weird tradition when you pass the X where it marks the spot where JFK was shot, people will honk their horns out of superstition or whatever. So people thought they were cheering them on because they were honking at the X. So anyway, they did have a good time. By the way, if you want to just tell me how much bullshit this is, how childlike this is, this is from Telegram, I think, or Discord, a QAnon channel. Here's some images where they were breaking all this down and explaining why JFK was coming back. If you throw that up there, Matt. So here's the funny part to me. Negative 48 is JFK. I'm not sure why they arrived at negative 48, some numerology describing his president number. Anyway. As of midnight the 2nd, the world will go back to the Julian calendar. Thus, the day will go back to October 20th. That way, we'll have two Halloweens.
Yay!
These are a bunch of adults, Trey.
Yeah.
We're excited about two Halloweens. Here's a funny thing. Living in Dallas with the alcohol rules, like I've been in lots of bars when you're falling back. They will do last call, and then when the clock hits 2, it pumps 1 a.m. again, they open the bar back up. So kind of already get two Halloweens in Dallas.
Oh, nice. Yeah, this, I feel like they're targeting children with this, I think, with this ideology, trying to get the kids on board because, hey, you get two Halloweens. But it is so funny that in the middle of this, like, just screed of lunacy, about all this apocalyptic stuff that's going to happen, including the dead rising from the grave and the literal second coming of Jesus and all this, they do take time to point out. Also, side note, we get two Halloweens. How great is that?
We're running a little behind, so we can skip the next couple of videos, Matt. But like they did have a little fun. They did the world's weakest Let's Go Brandon chant while waving a sign that said Trump JFK Jr. 2024, which I'm not sure because that'll be third Trump president's return if he's reinstated at midnight. So I'm not sure how that would work. That's beside the point. JFK was killed at 12:30, and so he was supposed to reappear at 12:29. Why 1 minute early? I don't know. But they led up to it by they counted down by doing the Pledge of Allegiance. They all stood around 1,000 people doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and then the clock hit 12:29, and nothing, just fucking nothing.
Right.
That was absolutely great.
I always wonder, like, that moment, the moment, like, how long do they give it? Is it like the 15-minute rule, like in college where the professor doesn't show up, then you can leave, except that's how long they wait before they make up a new prediction on the spot?
Yeah.
Like, just, the moment in time where the insane thing, of course, doesn't happen, the transition from that into predicting and then waiting on the next thing, the ins and outs of how all that works. I'd like to see unfold.
Well, that's why you keep your predictions vague. Like that's why like fortune cookies and astrology really has it figured out. What you do not do say is this is going to happen to you at 12, not 29 p.m. Anyway, I don't know how you hang on to a belief system where God's plan just got rained out, but whatever. Doesn't he control the rain, Trey?
Yeah, right.
So these people, like, they really do live in the world where everything happens on their TV. And so, like, they were walking around when JFK Jr. and JFK and other famous political figures didn't show up. They saw there's a guy there who looked like Robin Williams. Everyone decided that must be Robin Williams. He faked his death, too. And this lady, she gives this video where she goes, he was wearing a mask, but he definitely had Robin Williams cheekbones. And I was like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, it's like people thought. People said Dale Earnhardt was there. Somebody said Tupac was there. There's a prediction that Kobe would be there. This is just like all the greatest hitters in history just showing up to reinstate Trump as ghosts. I don't really fucking know. There was a Richard Pryor sighting too, so that's cool. Yeah. I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah.
A thousand people showed up for this.
Yeah, and these are like the, even in the world of QAnon, this is the fringe, right? Like QAnon's already like fringe. This is like the fringe of the fringe, you know. So I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that there's like Halloween ghost presidents involved, you know. But
yeah, these are the Q people that other Q people think are embarrassing and stupid, but still a thousand of them flew through the lunar from across the country for this. That's like, if they're a small fringe of even Q, that bugs me.
Yeah. All right. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, Satan himself for having too much of an ego when it comes to his nefarious plans. That's right. You put up the screen grab there, Matt. They have discovered, not that one, buddy, the other. Yeah, about the, listen to this. This is the head White House correspondent from Newsmax who's breaking this news here. Dear Christians, the vaccines contain a bioluminescent marker called Luciferase. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced, but it's got Lucifer in it, so that you can be tracked. Read the last book of the New Testament to see how this ends. Now, I thought Satan was supposed to be a grand trickster, Mark. Like, it seems a little short-sighted to just put your name directly in the vaccine like that. I'm surprised it took him this long to catch on to his scheming.
Well, I mean, we went from the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist to being, hi, I'm wearing a Satan, my name, like, hello, I'm Satan wearing a my name is Satan t-shirt. I'm like, just like, so anyway, there is no luciferase in the vaccines or whatever, but it is a term for a bioluminescent chemical that is in some medical, so like, I don't really understand.
Because doctor, Lucifer, but it's something like Lucifer in the Latin or whatever has to do with light, like
the light bringer. Yeah, it's like,
Light bringer, and this.
This is the stuff in,
that makes lightning bugs' butts light up. This stuff. So it's just, you know, that's where it gets its name. But yeah, it's like, first of all, if I don't know if the vaccines did make your butts light up, I think there'd be a lot of Instagram influencers jumping all over that. I think way to get ahead in the butt game, the butt sharing game, make it light up, lightning bug style. But also just the whole like saying. Like, essentially just saying the vaccine has the devil in it is just such a great example of, like, the self-parody that they, you know, participate in all the time. Because it sounds like something – that sounds like a hack joke you would make about what anti-vaxxers say. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's the devil. It's got the devil in it. But now they're literally saying – that it has the devil in it.
it's one step up. There was like the conspiracy theory a couple weeks ago that if you looked at the vaccine under a microscope, you could see like tiny like squid like organisms. They're aliens.
Yeah, Cthulhu's, and this is like in there, devil Cthulhu having a party. Yeah, in the vaccine.
This is like one step above that because at least you did learn a science word, you know. So, but if the vaccine did make my ass light up, that would make going to the bathroom in the night a lot easier. Wouldn't it turn the light on? It would hit, honestly. So.
All right. Our next honorable mention, any American school child who is or any American school children who are flunking people eating class. That's right. Thanks, in case you missed it, getting wild out here in our nation's classrooms. A lot of people really upset about it, including this lady. Play the clip, Matt.
I'm just wondering if we're attending a clown show. This is ridiculous. You know how ridiculous you guys look with all these masks on? Satanic. Okay. You know, Satan's agenda is behind all of this. And I want to address what is actually behind this agenda, the fear mongering. Masks don't work and neither does vaccines. It's destroying and it's killing. Right before the Holocaust, and let me remind you, they mask them up so that they are not being told. They're dumbed down. All the children, why are you attacking our children? And the reason why you're attacking our children is because you want to program the children to turn in the parents. And right now there are classrooms in the United States that are teaching cannibalism. Where does this come from? Okay. What else are you guys going to be doing?
Cannibalism class.
Where does this come from? Where does this come from? Indeed. Like, if you want kids
Do you think it's like a Donner Party thing. Like, you know how they were like, that one lady was talking about Toni Morrison's Beloved or something. So it's like somewhere this lady heard that a kid was taught the story of the Donner Party or something. And that turned into, they've got cannibalism class right after recess down at the, you know, the middle school down the street. Or is it just literally just, this is some Satan-y sounding shit and Satan's in the school board, henceforth cannibalism class. I don't know why we try to make sense of this stuff. I'm trying to figure, like, you know, break down the train of thought or the logic that goes into these things. I'd sooner lasso the moon, Mark, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's always your thing, is trying to really connect with these people and really understand where they're coming from. I don't really have any interest in understanding. There's nothing deeper there, man. There's nothing behind it. She just pulled it out of her ass, and there it goes. Like, just like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, well, our next honorable mention, he's becoming a Daily Dumbass Hall of Famer in my book, one of my absolute favorites. It's Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert. And really, the dumbass here is anybody that doesn't understand that in the world of agriculture, warm equals good. Play the clip, Matt.
Trump years, we have been producing 1.3% less carbon dioxide, and we can debate about what that does to the environment, whether it makes the temperature warmer. I've read where experts have said if you got a choice between the temperature getting slightly warmer or slightly colder, you want warmer, because if it's getting slightly colder, that means there's less time for crops to grow. If it's slightly warmer, not too much warmer, then you got more time for crops to grow, you got more food, and you have fewer people starving. So there's a lot of areas. Trump years, we have.
The thing that pisses me off about his folksy demeanor is the man's obviously never grown anything, because that doesn't make any, like, as someone who grew up on a farm, like, some stuff won't grow when it's warmer.
Yeah.
It's just like farming 101. So it's not even based in anything. It's like, what the fuck? I don't know. Like,
yeah. He's like, you know, and they say, you know, maybe with global warming, we could, you know, grow more corn in Canada that way. Or, you know, might be bad for what Russia would do with it. We're not sure about that. But generally speaking, you know, can't grow corn in the snow. That's all I'm saying. I've read where experts agree on that. And this is why I'm trying to bring the sun closer to the earth. If I could get the Bureau of Land Management to work on that finally.
Trey is referencing one of his old hidden videos where he tried to talk about bringing the moon closer to change the tides or something.
Or perhaps the earth, if failing that. See, he's not unreasonable. Like, he doesn't just – he gives you options, just a few things you could try. If you can't get the moon closer to the earth, you could also then try getting the earth closer to the sun, see? And you could maybe try both things, see how that pans out, you know, see what you get from it. He also is worried about windmills murdering birds all the time. No. Solar panels exploding birds. That's a pet passion of his.
I didn't want to do Gohmert overload, but that same speech, there's another clip where he talks about how, like, we have the fossil fuel companies to thank for toothbrushes, you know, because they're made of plastic. And then he goes on a long tangent with, like, I'm well aware that throughout history people have brushed their teeth with tree bark, but I personally prefer the modern toothbrush.
Listen, I know it's just a nightmare that this dude is in Congress, but, like, I'm kind of a fan of Louie Gohmert, like, as a concept, like, as a character. He just, it's so wild to me that somebody that dumb and wild could be, you know, an elected representative.
The man has a fake front tooth that comes out during floor speeches in Congress, and he just, like, catches it with his tongue and puts it back in without his hands. It's like, it's wild. He's a lunatic.
Absolute lunatic. This is the we've got a theme in the middle portion of Daily Dumbass here with lunatic Congress people. Next up, let's skip the pharmacist, I think, since I've set this up this way, and go to Chip Roy, Matt to see what he's on about on the floor of the House.
I got a prescription for ivermectin. So did my wife. We each went to go get it filled. And it's not horse medicine. I didn't roll down to Tractor Supply, which I go to often, to go get supplies for the land on which I live. And yes, I've seen the ivermectin in the cabinet at Tractor Supply. No, this was a prescription for pills of ivermectin that we wanted to have on supply in case we thought we needed it. So we go down to get it filled at a pharmacy, CVS. And the first time my wife went down there, they whispered in the back. They said, oh, we can't do that. We can't fill that prescription. Oh, well, finally one person came in and overrode and said, look, do they have a prescription? Okay, yeah. Well, then go ahead and fill it. So they filled the prescription. Then I go down to get the prescription filled that I got a few weeks later. They wouldn't fill it. Went to another pharmaceutical company, another pharmacy, I should say. They wouldn't fill it. Finally went to a third one and we got it filled. Why is that? Why is that?
I have an answer for you, Trip. And I, like, this is like, we talked about this last week, but they want different rules for themselves, right?
Right.
So conservatives have run around for the last 20 years trying to pass all these like conscience bills so pharmaceuticals would not have to fill stuff like birth control and Plan B and abortion pills.
Right.
So they freed pharmacists from obligations to follow prescriptions. So in this one instance, they go down there and like there's another video we just skipped where a guy was trying to tell pharmacists he's legally obligated to fill his ivermectin prescription. And the pharmacist who doesn't want to be responsible for hurting this guy or misleading him or robbing him or taking money from him under false pretenses or perhaps hurting him says no. And he keeps yelling at this pharmacist, but the pharmacist does have a choice. And he has a choice in this matter specifically because conservatives won these fucking fights. This is your fault. Sorry, Chip. Can't get your ivermectin.
Yeah, well, it's also he says that they were trying to get it filled because we just wanted to have it on hand just in case we might need it. And it's like, that's generally not how prescription drugs work. That's the reason you got to get a prescription to get. And I know they got a prescription from a doctor, but I'm saying that's why there are these trained professionals have the ability in the first place to keep that from happening because, you know, people don't know what drugs are or how they work, and you can't just go down to the drug store and just go to the, you know, the horse pill aisle and pick up some horse pills. It's also funny to me, first of all, how he had to make sure to make an aside that, and by the way, I drive a tractor. I have land. I clear brush and stuff. I'm, you know, Tractor Supply, where I often go for supplies for my tractor, which I drive because I'm a man on my land.
Chip Roy is from fucking Maryland. He's from fucking Maryland. These guys, like, there's a certain class. I lived in Texas for like 11 years, right? And there's a certain class. You talk to any Texan about this, it'll drive them insane. There's a type of person who moves to Texas because they have an idea of Texas based on No Country for Old Men and truck commercials and the New York City paste picante sauce commercial. Yeah. And they move to Texas and they start acting like what they think Texans are, which is insane and ridiculous and crazy. So they get boots and they start talking about going to the Tractor Supply and they run for office as a Republican and they ruin every fucking thing. You're not from there. Stop acting like it. Get on with your life and be a responsible person. Yeah, also, ivermectin's not an EpiPen. You don't have to just have ivermectin laying around just in case. It's not like Narcan or whatever. It doesn't make sense.
Well, and it also is fun to me how he kind of like acknowledges that it is horse pills also, but it, you know what it means? Like, and yeah, I know they've got it at Tractor Supply for the horses, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the miracle cure kind.
Which is okay. Like the drug is the drug. They get mad when you call it horse paste, and I understand why, because it's sort of a semantic insult. But like, it's the same drug. It's like saying, I don't eat horse hay, I eat people hay. It's fucking hay, motherfucker. You're eating hay. Right. I don't care.
All right. And our next lunatic congressperson, also becoming a Hall of Famer, Lauren Boebert, who's really upset about Pete Buttigieg's nipples and stuff. What? Yeah. Here, let's see it.
Mayor Pete was on a 2-month maternity paternity, whatever the heck you want to call it, leave. The guy was gone. Okay. The guy was not working. Because why? He was trying to figure out how to chest feed. Maybe someone should tell him, please, so he can get back to work. Listen, I'm a mother of four. I delivered one of my children in the front seat of my truck because as a mom of four, we got things to do. Ain't nobody got time for 2.5 months of maternity leave. We have a world to save here.
First of all, she really thought she hit with that chest feeding joke, but her delivery is fucking awful. And like she's obviously reading a rehearsed speech and not knowing
the paternity maternity thing was also clearly a planned thing. You know what I mean? Like she's doing a thing and trying to act like she isn't like, oh, I just messed up, you know, whatever it's called. But that was clearly part of it.
Also, like, do you believe she gave birth to her fourth kid in the truck, in the cab of her truck?
Because it's her. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, her husband's pulling his dick out at a bowling alley and she got arrested for having a gun in her purse and was fucking like freaking out at a music festival or something once and wrecked into a ditch and shit. She's like, she sounds like one of our white trash cousins in a lot of different ways, as opposed to a congressperson. And, you know, I probably got a cousin that's had a baby in a truck. So yeah, I could see her doing it. It's a weird flex, I think, for a person in the House of Representatives to be talking about birthing inside a pickup truck, but, you know, playing to the base, baby.
How was your takeaway from after giving birth to a kid in a truck that we need a worse healthcare system? That's fucking amazing.
I know. It's like, we ain't nobody got time for that whole having a baby in a hospital instead of a truck thing or whatever. It's like, she's like she's such a mover and a shaker that it necessitates.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
The truck birth, I guess.
she's got a business to run, Trey. She's too busy getting a D rating from the health department and getting sued from constantly causing E. coli outbreaks with pork sandwiches. So she's got shit to do. maybe she didn't wash her hands after she gave birth in the truck. That's why she got all those people sick at a restaurant.
All right, so producer Matt's giving us some updates here. We might as well get into the main chunk of the show, I guess, to talk about the Virginia governor's race, which I guess since this is happening now, we might as well start by saying, and then we can talk about some of the shit that's happened in the race. Matt is telling us that the sentiment on Twitter is that it's turning for Youngkin, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, from Dave Wasserman on Twitter. I've seen enough. Glenn Youngkin defeats Terry McAuliffe in the Virginia governor's race. And I don't, that's not like full on official, I don't guess, but that's what we're hearing here at the SKUs, Mark.
I just refreshed the results, and he's with 52% of the vote counted, he's up by like 8 points or some shit. So remember, Biden won this state by 10. So
what's that say to you?
I don't know, man. But it's there's so like we're swimming in so much bullshit. Like I'm just really depressed, man. My whole family still lives in Virginia.
Yeah,
a bunch of them work for the state. Yeah, it's don't hit. So Everybody went crazy. If you're wondering what the general feeling like in Virginia was the last couple of weeks, let's talk to this guy who's really mad over critical race theory, especially because it won't even tell him what it is.
Yeah.
What's the most important issue in the governor's race here in Virginia?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much, but it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't,
well,
that you
I'm
don't
not,
like?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't...
That's the whole race. That's the whole race.
I know. That's all of American politics right now, it feels like to me. You know what I mean? Like, they're really good at that, like... They find a thing that like latches on with these people, and it doesn't matter what any of the reality is surrounding any of it. It's just that it works, and then they just pump it out there over and over, and they just fucking lap it up, and it just becomes a thing. Yeah, that guy really sums up the whole deal, I feel like. He's real pissed off about it and has no idea what it even is or is supposed to be. It just upsets him.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got a couple more videos I want to show you, but just since we already know he's going to be governor, just to tell you who Glenn Youngkin is, a little bit about him. Well, first of all, he's 6'7", so congrats to him on that. He's very tall. He's probably America's tallest governor at this point, I'm going to guess. He played basketball on a college basketball on a scholarship at Rice University with career averages of 1.4 points per game. So basketball was not his calling, but he still did pretty well for himself. He's worth about $440 million. How do you get that money? Yeah. How'd he get that money? Well, he worked for 25 years until he quit to run for governor. He worked for the Carlyle Group. You might have heard of the Carlyle Group before. Back in the mid-2000s, they were one of the subjects of the Michael Moore documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11, merely because they were very close to George Bush and made a lot of money off 9/11, which is not necessarily their fault. But here's a fun little fact. Osama bin Laden's brother was literally at a Carlyle Group investor conference the very moment 9/11 happened. So I hope Glenn Youngkin enjoyed working with him. Fuck. this is not to be conspiratorial. All rich people know each other. And there's of course the bin Ladens were in business with the Bushes. They're all in the oil. They're all rich people in the oil business. So the end of this race, because Youngkin doesn't have a biography to run on, but he's just some rich guy who filled up in finance and private equity. He doesn't have any ideas, not that people like anyway. He literally was caught on mic saying he didn't want to talk about abortion publicly because he didn't want to alienate swing voters. So he just talked about critical race theory and education this whole time because Terry McAuliffe had a gaffe in a debate where he said he didn't think parents should be telling schools what to teach, which did not play well, even though it's patently true, as we talked about last week. And the end of the race got really race-baity and bleak. Let's play that campaign ad that's just viral videos of black kids in high schools fighting each other.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Glenn Youngkin's taking my words out of context.
Here's some context. As former governor, McAuliffe pushed left liberal bureaucrats into our schools and pushed parents out, covering up rape and sexual assault in our schools. Now our schools are teetering on chaos, violence in kids' classrooms, Virginia students and teachers in danger. Terry McAuliffe failed Virginia children and parents.
I'm Glenn Youngkin, candidate for governor, and I sponsored this ad.
Inspiring stuff. A lot of people are comparing that to the Willie Horton ad. You ever heard about the Hands ad, Trey?
I don't think so.
So this is tangentially related to comedy. So that part will interest you. So when Jesse Helms was running for re-election in Senate, he was almost defeated by a young upstart whose last name is Galifianakis. He happens to be comedian Zach Galifianakis' uncle in North Carolina. Okay. And until Jesse Helms, Galifianakis is obviously a funny sounding name. It happens to be Greek. He ran an ad that just saw it was – A white hand trying to fill out a job application, and a black hand reached in and jerked the hand away from the application. Took the application. That's my dark memory with the applications. So Jesse Helms, and it was like for us, not them, or something was with them. So it like immigrant baited Galifianakis, and also was racist against black people. Yada yada yada. Jesse Helms was a piece of shit. And Zach Galifianakis should be the nephew of a former senator.
So just kind of sort of on that note, and the whole critical race theory thing and that campaign ad we just saw, and how like how thinly veiled all the racism is and stuff. I saw a kind of as compared to the gravity of the whole situation, kind of a silly thing happening with this today. Matt, you put up that tweet, that picture of the guy at the Youngkin campaign stop. This was all over Twitter earlier, if you've got it. So they got a picture of like Youngkin's last big campaign stop or something like that, and there's a dude sitting right in front of the press area. Yeah, right there, Matt, right under the video you just played. There's a picture, and he's got a cowboy hat on and a denim jacket with a Confederate flag sewn onto the back of it, right? And it was just tweeted as like, oh, here at the big Glenn Youngkin rally or whatever. And so then a whole bunch of conservative people on Twitter started flipping out and saying that it was clearly a hoax, like that the Confederate stamp was clearly brand new and just sewn onto the jacket. Oh, this guy's just very conveniently located right in front of the press, so he's going to be right in the middle of a shot. Yeah, there he is, that. And they were like, yeah, sorry, not buying it. Nice try. Nice false flag, false Confederate flag there, liberal Twitter.
I'm seeing the replies. For context, there was a kerfluffle where the Lincoln Project paid some actors to show up to a Youngkin rally wearing Nazi gear. But so that was
sure. Yeah. And this guy might be a plant, right? I still just think that the indignation is kind of hilarious because, you know, you're from Virginia. I promise you there are plenty of people in Virginia who rock the Confederate flag. And I also promise you that every one of those who is voting for Glenn Youngkin. Like it's that they are the official. You're not necessarily all Confederate flaggy if you like Glenn Youngkin, I guess, but they are officially the party of the Confederate flaggy persuasion in this country. So when they try to act like they're not, it's just hilarious to me. You know what I mean? Like if that dude is a fucking plant, that is some horse shit, but like it doesn't matter. Like that is who they are, whether that dude was actually there or not, you know? Like it's just, it's horseshit.
Yeah, I mean, it's horseshit all the way down. That same rally, the New York, I don't know if you saw, people were going crazy over the New York Times coverage of this race because one of the political reporters talked about Biden to Youngkin voters, but the guy he held up as a test case was quite obviously been a conservative for like decades and is like actually a party operative and writes like race baity stuff for like those weird race science journals. So it was just his day job is fake because he runs a nonprofit that doesn't do anything but to soak up funding. It was a very weird fuck up by the New York Times. And then the story about that campaign event you just showed, the guy wrote it up as like Glenn Youngkin ends his campaigns last night on a hopeful note as he speaks to an audience of blah 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 about critical race theory. And it's like, how was your takeaway? We just watched that ad. How was your takeaway that this is a hopeful note? Yeah. I mean, Trump literally named his inauguration speech "American Carnage," and it was worse than the title sounds. And he's like the role model for all these dudes. There's not a lot of hope, you know, involved in this movement.
Yeah, hope so, not super big right now. Hope.
The good news.
A bit of a downturn.
If I could offer a positive takeaway from this is that Virginia's governor isn't very important. It's going to be held up as a bellwether for the midterms and the 2024 presidential race. When it's not that, the party out of power, the presidency almost always wins Virginia's governorship for whatever fucking
right. reason. Yeah, I saw that earlier. I was going to ask you about that, but I guess McAuliffe was like the only one in 50 years that to not be the case. For whatever reason, Virginia always has an opposite-partied governor from the president or something. And I was going to ask, like, how much of a harbinger, however you say it, of things to come, do you think? Because it's been painted like sort of like that, like this is like a test case or whatever. And if Youngkin ends up just like whipping his ass, you know, I mean, it's a little alarming. I feel like, how much does that have to do with Joe Biden, the Democrats in power, and what they're doing with it or not doing with it, you know, and all that type of shit.
As far as how he'll actually govern, like, the campaign's the hard part for these dudes. You try to split the difference between keeping Trump supporters and not alienating sane people, right? So right. In office, he's probably going to govern like a center-right Republican who's annoying on social issues. Like, if he can get an anti-abortion bill through the House of Delegates, he'll probably sign a mild version of one. He's bad on trans issues. Virginia's governorship's not a stepping stone to the presidency because you only get one term. Your term limited out after one. And it's just a weird state. So I'm not worried about my relatives in Virginia except for the immediate term, the huge lifting of COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
So I don't want, but they're all vaccinated except for the kids. So I just don't want mom getting COVID, even though she's got her booster shot. So, yeah.
So what is the deal with the big, speaking of the Democrats in power and what they're doing with it, the big bills, Build Back Better and the bipartisan bill and all that shit. You said before the show, there's like maybe an update on that front.
Yeah. Chuck Schumer announced they had a deal on prescription drug spending, which has been a big holdup because Kristen Sinema did not like any of the plans to try to lower prescription drug prices. They seem to have reached a deal that she is okay with. And everyone seems ready to move forward and vote for stuff. Now let's talk about how bad the Democrats are at politics. Maybe McCall was going to lose by enough that this wouldn't make that much of a difference, but all the general vibe of dysfunction and incompetence that surrounds the Democratic Party and their inability to just do stuff.
Yeah.
If they had passed these bills a week ago, the end of this election campaign probably looks a lot differently as far as right. how people feel about Democrats. Yeah. If you swing one voter at every 200, who's a swing? I don't understand swing voters. I can't wrap my head around them.
Me neither.
They seem like, by and large, like the type of person who honestly believe you disappeared when you go behind your peekaboo hands.
Yeah.
but you change one out of 200 minds, and you get two people who didn't feel like voting because they're mad at you to go to the polls. That might be enough to turn the election. And there you go. They're just bad at this stuff. They think people follow the news super, super closely instead of just getting vague impressions of how things are going. And here we are. Yeah, they don't hit.
Matt,
send this in the chat if they have anything news come out about the bill. Because like they're still hovering around $1.75 trillion, I think, for all the Manchin's making noise about one to see what happens to the deficits. Or I don't know. That's fucking stupid.
If you have that screenshot you were talking about the governor's race, you want to put it up there, you can. So we can see what you're talking about there. Shane Goldmacher says, look at the southwesternmost corner of Virginia. Youngkin at 89.9% in Lee County, up from Gillespie 79.2% in 2017, with more votes total already in and not all votes yet counted. The Democrats keep falling further and further and further in rural areas. Yeah, and this is from the New York Times. Shane is with the New York Times. Yeah, that's, depressing to me as a rural, former rural, whatever American, but not surprising though.
Can I rant for a second? Because this seems like fairly obvious to me why this is the case.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party and liberalism in general is dominated by a particular strain of like cosmopolitan coastal people who all went to grad school and think everyone else did too. And they talk about things in very academic ways. And all while governing neoliberally and not actually investing stuff and helping people. So like they started with politics exactly backwards. Like when I was a kid, it was always Democrats would propose like a social program. Republicans would say it's just a handout to the poor minorities.
Yeah.
Democrats would say, no, it's not. Even though it sort of is, because any sort of social program is going to disproportionately help poor people. It's going to disproportionately help poor people and minorities, right? Because they have the money's distributed in America. And that was always the contest. So what Democrats have started doing instead is announcing they want to do programs to just help poor people and minorities, just literally giving away the politics and then not passing any of it. Yeah. Like the example is like a couple weeks ago with that big fight over Joe Biden proclaiming Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, he picked a fight on social issue over nothing while offering no concrete help to actual indigenous people. What you don't issue the proclamation to heat up the culture war. What you do is just pass a program to help indigenous people.
Yeah.
That's the way you help them. they will tweet out Happy Trans Day and not do anything to help trans. It's like you're antagonizing social conservatives but not giving people programs that actually help anyone. It's like it's just very clear to me that they've all they do is talk. It's all language. It's all just stuff about when people get mad about woke politics or whatever. It's just like that's so dumb. But also, like, you don't have to like give them ammo for it. It drives me insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, we said, you know, after the last elections, when it was settled that they would have some, you know, semblance of power, you know, that, okay, well, do something with it and make the things that you do be things that actually help people, you know, out and have an effect on their lives. And that will hopefully mean more than just, you know, tweeting about shit or whatever. And of course, so far, they just haven't really done any of that. So it's like you said, they just the rhetoric pisses people off on the other side, and then there's nothing to point to counterbalance that in terms of actual effects or policies or anything.
Yeah.
So you're left with just the rhetoric, which they really don't appreciate to begin with. So yeah.
I'm glad you read a book on intersectionality. I'm sure it was fascinating. I'm sure it gave you a lot of insight into culture and how things work. But instead of talking about that, tax a billionaire to spend on a school. Do that instead. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's see here. Look at this. It comes up. Joanne Walkup says, smart Mark is so smart. I agree. Talk is cheap. Dems need to do stuff. Hey, like that, Mark.
It's a very simple slogan, and I wish they would understand it and follow it because, yeah.
They are metrocrats, Linda Jo Huber says. Democrats who don't see anything outside the metro areas. And it's like, I feel like also a big part of their whole deal with that has been like, oh, it's a law, you know, they write that off. Like, we're not going to win those people anyway, so like, let's not try at all. But if it has the opposite effect, where they're just mobilizing them further and further against you, you know what I mean? Then like, it's going to get even worse. Like, it's really going to bite you in the ass. Like, what appears to maybe be happening in Virginia as we speak, you know?
I don't know how to tell someone that if you do the right thing and it doesn't personally help you, that you should still do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't like that famous headline from 2016. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to tell you, convince you you're supposed to care about others. Like, but it's like, you can't keep doing this. And I say that even in an environment where Democrats have won the popular vote in the presidential elections, like every year except for once since 1988. So like it's not lost. It's just like the Democratic consulting class is a jobs program for people that don't want to finish their doctoral degrees. And it's like, fire all the consultants and just go shake hands and talk to people, you know? Tell people. McAuliffe is a perfect example. He wasn't a terrible governor, but he's like, he's just about the money. He's just a corporate class political consultant who likes fundraising. And sure, he'll pass some decent stuff, but like, he wasn't doing anything for people.
Carrie Whaley says, I like McAuliffe's agenda, but he's an awful candidate. He only became governor because he ran against someone, Cuccinelli, who looked crazier than he did. You agree with that assessment, Mark? I don't.
Yeah, Ken Cuccinelli was nuts. Cuccinelli was essentially – Cuccinelli was running on literally a neo-Confederate platform. He was like – he was running on – his main campaign plank was save the Confederate statues, which a lot of people in Virginia are in favor of, but also it's just not enough to hang a whole hat on. And that was in 2017, too, after Trump had just gotten fucking elected. I mean, no, though, this was two governorships ago, so it was before Trump, but maybe I'm mixing up my candidates. I don't know. Sorry. It's been a while. It's been a long day.
Catherine Lane says, many Democrats are owned by the dark money. I hate to say it, but it's true. Well-meaning Democrats are getting buried. And I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, Manchin and Sinema, you know, it's what's going on with them. The money is everything on both sides. It's a plutocracy that we live in. It's just, that's who really owns the place.
There would be 51 Democratic senators and we'd have a much better bill if this dipshit called Cal Cunningham hadn't sexted a lady 2 weeks before the North Carolina Senate election last year. This is how short-sighted and selfish these motherfuckers are. And I hate all of them.
Rusty Martin says, I spend my days consoling my wife, who is a pharmacist in Texas. She's putting ghosts in your blood, or so she's been told. Yeah. That's got to be very frustrating, I'd imagine. Back to Ghost in Her Blood. That's some, you know, that's some old timey. That was like in the last plague is when we had Ghost in Her Blood. You know, they're giving you mercury and bloodletting and all that stuff, get all them ghosts out of your blood. They're wearing the bird mask and shit. You know, I'd hope we had gotten past that as a society, but here we are.
I remember.
Hold on, because I always forget. Thank you. If it would pop up there, come on. Yeah. Lack and
thank
share.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. Heinze Nunya. I'm gonna say the last name.
Yeah, appreciate it. Like and share trade. That's but all the show. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. I never say it.
Yeah.
Until I'm reminded. So thank you, Heinze. Do that. Sorry, Mark. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna thank Heinze for being more professional than we are. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like. I remember joking in 2016 that we're gonna have to redo the Enlightenment. And I was joking at the time, but this is worse than that. Because even in the Black Plague, people knew to stay away from people that had it. They weren't trying to get it on purpose.
Right.
They didn't know why. They didn't know how you got it. They knew you got it, though.
Also, dude, given that they were putting the chickens on their wounds and drinking the mercury and all that stuff, the people in the Black Plague, if we had given them a shot to take to keep them all from getting the fucking plague, they would have lined up around the block to take it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a heartbeat, man. So, yeah, shit's pretty dire when you're getting wrecked by the denizens of the Black Plague. Through My Eyes says, I think Let's Go Brandon is popular so, in quotations, Christians can say it without swearing. I don't know. Nah. I think they just like to feel clever, you know? I think
it's an inside joke that trolls people who are on your in-group who get it. It's very, very simple. It's like kids using slang. First of all, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. People are fine saying fuck. It's not a big deal for the most part. Not the women, but the men. And I don't know if anybody really care that much about it. I think it's just people like inside jokes, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking through these comments over here.
So, talking about what Trump has brought
up. A lot of people are bringing this up about, you know, on a recent episode, we were talking about this, about how, like, the party seems to be being held hostage entirely by two bad actors right now. I know there are more, but if it wasn't for Manchin and Sinema, you know, would all this shit still be happening? So, like Judy Socal here says, how can Dems do national stuff when they don't have a real majority in Congress? And a lot of other people pointing out, like, look, it's 50-50. Manchin, Sinema are the way they are, and it fucks everything up for everybody. You know.
We're trapped in a circle here because, like, they can't win elections because they don't do stuff when they have power. You're saying they can't do stuff because they don't have more power, so that's why they lose elections. It's like the context here is that the party fundraising apparatus squashes primaries against candidates who actually want to do stuff, and then tries to primary candidates who do want to actually do stuff for working people. They're actively the fundraising apparatuses of the party are actively trying to get candidates like Sinema and Manchin who do not want to do much stuff. So they're saying to support us so we can win elections and do stuff while actively, like, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. And even when they get power, we just had an election a year ago, less than a year ago, the Senate runoff in Georgia, where they literally said, give us these two seats and we will do X, Y, Z. Now, either they were lying or it wasn't, they're arguing over the $2,000 or whatever, because Trump sent out, 1,400, and Biden said, we're going to take it up 600 to be two or whatever. It's like that weird fight was just like, why are you even having that fight? Why are you making people disappointed? You're just send them $2,000 or don't or whatever. I don't know the right answer here, but like you explicitly said, do X and we'll do Y. We did X. They did not do Y. They're falling short of their promises. They can stop making them or just admit they're lying about them to begin with. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but like they... It's like the party's actively trying to not do stuff. I just don't know. Like,
right. And then meanwhile, on the other side, like the guy we showed earlier with the critical race theory thing, they don't even, a lot of times they don't even have to do stuff because the shit they're mad about isn't real. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have the boogeyman and whatnot. So, like, the rhetoric is all you need on their side. Because I feel like they haven't historically been great at doing shit either. You know, I mean, they wanted Obamacare gotten rid of for, like, over a decade or whatnot, and had every branch of government for a big chunk of that time, and just, you know, kept fucking that up too. So it's like a congressional problem. Just our politicians, they're just not big on doing stuff, I feel like. But I feel like it matters way more on our side because of the differences in, like, the rhetoric and the dog whistling and all that that they have, that they, you know, can fall back on. Like, the doing stuff isn't even as important to them, I feel like.
It is. I mean, not to quote Spaceballs, but evil will always defeat good because good is dumb. You know, it's like, that's always good. But it's Trey, there. You're frozen. Oh, yeah. You're just trying to read. When you're trying to read,
so my mouth's open and I'm afraid. Yeah.
I mean, it's always easier to destroy than to build. That's why Republicans like the filibuster more than Democrats, because, like, the stuff they want to do, they don't need to get rid of the filibuster to do. They can do it with 50 votes. It's just pass a tax cut, right? Democrats need more votes because they want to actually build programs. I get that. It's a harder thing to do, but, like, that's what we have to actually try. You know, and, like, the whole thing about Manchin and the Build Back Better plan and all that shit is, like, Pelosi bumblefucked this by separating the bills when they were always supposed to be contingent upon one another. So she gave Manchin, took away all of the leverage over Manchin, and then they could have just put the floor bills on the floor and all the vote at the same time and made him vote. They didn't do that.
I want to end on this comment because I just appreciated it. this is from Tech Nauseated on YouTube. A kid I worked with kept saying "fut bucker" in front of customers, and legitimately thought that the adults didn't understand his secret code. And I think this is a typo or something, but "Let's go, Brandon" reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know. It's an industrious teenager you got there. Fut bucker. He cracked the code with fut bucker.
Do you have the hamburger joint Fuddruckers where you're from?
Yeah,
Trey?
Of course. Yeah. In Idiocracy, that becomes butt fuckers.
Mm, yeah. That makes sense.
It does make sense. All right. Well, sorry about Virginia, Mark. Nothing hits.
I'll be there next month. I'll say hi to Glenn.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. You can go to weeklyskews.com and get you a shirt if you're so inclined. You can also go to wellreadcomedy.com for my tour dates and whatnot, if you're vaccinated, of course. And I'll see y'all out there. And either way, we'll see you right here next week on Weekly Skews. Thank you. Say you love you. Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.